Ottawa was in the heart of rural Illinois, surrounded by farmland and the impossibly wide skies of the Midwest. It was a place where folks were happy simply to get on with life, raise their families, do good work, live decent lives. The community was close-knit and emphatically religious. Ottawa was a small town of many churches, with the majority of residents Catholic. The citizens of Ottawa, chirped the town directory, are liberal-minded, prosperous and progressive. The perfect populace, then, for this new dial-painting opportunity. It wasn't the United States Radium Corporation hiring, although they knew their competitor well. The employer was the Radium Dial Company. Its president was Joseph A. Kelly. He was based at the head office in Chicago, however, so it was to Miss Murray, the studio's superintendent, the Ottawa girls applied. Lottie Murray was an immensely loyal employee, a slim, single woman, 44 years old, who had been with the company 5 years as it moved its studio around various locations before settling now in Ottawa. One of her very first successful applicants was 19-year-old Catherine Wolfe. She was Ottawa born and bred, a devoted parishioner of St. Columba Church, which was located diagonally opposite the studio. Despite her young age, Catherine had already had some hard knocks in life. When she was only 6, her mother, Bridget, had passed away. Just 4 years later, in 1913, her father Maurice died from lung trouble. As a result, 10-year-old Catherine was sent to live with her elderly aunt and uncle, Mary and Winchester Moody Bigot, sharing their home at 520 East Superior Street. Catherine was a shy, quiet person who was very unassuming. She had thick, jet-black hair and very pale skin, a rather neat woman with tidy limbs who didn't go in for showy gestures. The job at the studio would be her first, painting the dials of timepieces and aeronautical instruments. It was fascinating work and the pay was good, she enthused, but every line had to be just so. And there was only one known way to get the necessary point on the Japanese brushes the size of a pencil that the Ottawa girls used. Miss Lottie Murray, Catherine remembered, taught us how to point camel hair brushes with our tongues. We would first dip the brush into water, then into the powder, and then point the ends of the bristles between our teeth. It was the lip-dip-paint routine all over again, but with an entirely new cast. Joining Catherine at the studio was 16-year-old Charlotte Nevins. The advert had said 18 years or over, but she wasn't going to let a little thing like that stop her. All her friends were there, and she wanted to join them. Charlotte was the youngest of 6 siblings, and perhaps she just wanted to grow up fast. She was a cheerful, caring girl who, like Catherine, was a devout Catholic. Though she was generally quiet, she could be pretty outspoken when she needed to be. Charlotte wasn't the only one to tweak the truth about her age. Another employee who did the same, though the company must have known, was Mary Vicini, a sweet Italian girl who had come to America as a baby. She was only 13 in 1922, but nonetheless made it into the coveted workforce. In truth, the nimble fingers of prepubescent girls suited the delicate work of dial painting. Records show that some were as young as 11. Assisting Miss Murray with the applicants were Mr. and Mrs. Reed. Rufus Reed was the assistant superintendent, a 39-year-old New Yorker who was a company man to his bones. Tall and bold-headed, he was medium-built and wore dark-framed glasses. He was, in fact, deaf, but it didn't hinder him in his work. Perhaps his disability made him all the more grateful to the firm that had treated him well. Like Miss Murray, Reed and his wife, Mercedes, who worked there as an instructress, had been with the company for years.